morning. Joining us now in our studios is Rice County Attorney John Fossum. Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jeff. A little bit of a head cold this morning, but I'm going to try and fight through this today.
That sounds like a little bit of an understatement.
Well,
sounds like you got a lot of a head cold there.
I am Scandinavian. I don't.
All right. Well, we'll keep it short and sweet then. You know, last time you were in a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the implementation of some added security within the courthouse. That is in now with the metal detectors and such for a couple of weeks now. How's it how's it been working for you?
It's been going really well. I think people are getting used to it, and the we've learned a lot. The sheriff's office, which runs our, is responsible for courthouse security, has done an excellent job. Our facilities department, which participated in the design, and our IT department, which worked on reprogramming things, have all learned a lot, and we have accomplished a lot. We've kind of learned how the things work. It's kind of a bummer to take our 1932 courthouse and lock what looks like the front door, and also the so the north and south doors are now locked, and people can't come in them. They have to come around to the west side, which is our ADA accessible entrance, and then they can get to access to the elevator or the stairs to go up to the courtrooms. And it's kind of a bummer. I have to say, working in that courthouse for 22 years, I'm used to walking up the big front stairs and walking up the stairs, and I kind of miss being able to do that. But it's the age we live in, and we need to keep our courtrooms safe. And
You look at the history of that back when it was built. Walking into that grand entrance, it really kind of gives you, somewhat intimidating. Gives you a real good feeling for the gravity of the law.
Right, and it's about the importance of the space and the importance of why you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good from that perspective. I think it's, we're kind of late to the game in terms of providing this security. The metro counties all went to it years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Ramsey County added screening to their courthouses in 1995. So we're way behind a lot of other counties in Minnesota, and even some of the smaller rural counties. Dodge County has had pretty significant weapons screening for a couple of years now. So it was time to do it. It's unfortunate that it cuts down that main part of the courthouse, the main entrance. It was something that we had to do.
You had mentioned last time as well that if somebody does have something on their body as they're going to enter the courthouse, that there is a space where they kind of a safe space where they could turn things over. Have people been using that yet? Or?
I haven't talked to the deputies about that, but they have installed the amnesty box where mm-hmm. they can just dump things. We also let people just go back out to the car, but that makes more sense than having people drop their items in a bin and then pick them up on the way out, because then we can't control who takes what, and
mm-hmm.
what if somebody takes something and says no, and then somebody later comes along, hey, what happened to this? So rather than take those obligations on, we have this amnesty box where people can just drop things, and I'm not sure how much it's been used. I don't think there's a lot in there, but...
All right. Once again, John Fossum is with us. Let's talk about the use of body cameras on the law enforcement on their body. Of course, I think that's familiar with just about everyone now who watches the news. The body cams have been in the public eye for quite a few years now, and I understand they're coming to a law enforcement area near us.
Right. I know the city of Faribault is certainly moving that direction. I believe obviously, you talk to the sheriff and the chief of police. You can certainly talk to them about when they're likely to do it as well. It is helpful in terms of just normally it just answers the questions. If we have it on video and somebody says, this is what happened, and, you know, we play the video, and if it supports what the officer said, that's a nice, clean way of resolving what happened. And so we're more than happy to deal with body cams. I think it's, you know, there's an expense there in terms of storage and quantity, but I think the departments are working that out with the vendors. And, you know, we also want to make sure that we're protecting people's privacy, because the issue, of course, is that police officers do so much that is not criminal in nature. They respond to medical emergencies. They respond to scenes where a person was found dead in the home. And those videos we want to make sure are not getting out into the public. And I think that there's enough safeguards going forward that we can protect that information, protect those videos from public viewing. But those are the things that, you know, I think needed to be worked out in terms of moving forward for this. But obviously, it's a great thing from our perspective, because if we have on video the interaction, we have on video what the officer saw at the time, and that supports what the officer said, that's a tremendous boon to our cases and our ability to do our work.
I would imagine that you'd get quite a few more guilty pleas earlier in the process, and maybe that'll free up some court time and some court resources.
Well, we certainly hope so.
Yeah. The other big stumbling block in the implementation of those has been the cost. Obviously, that's somebody's got to shoulder the cost on that, and it's not cheap, because it's not just the cameras. It's all the storage that goes along with that. It's the equipment that you need for processing the evidence and such. So, and it's really a tremendous amount of storage. That video takes up a lot of space. So when they implement these, and you mentioned Faribault Police Department, do you know if it's across the board, all the police will immediately start wearing them, or would it be is it more of an experiment?
I think it's kind of an experiment, but the main thing from what I understand Faribault to be doing is that their vendor, who provides the people they're buying body cams from, will also provide the storage. And so it'll be a cloud-based storage system.
Mm-hmm.
And that will make it more affordable from that standpoint. So I think they'll start with a couple of officers, and they'll expand the use as the resources are made available. And it should be, you know, they're working on their policies now to make sure that they're covering everyone.
So as far as using that in evidence in a court or on a case that you have been you know, assigned to, or that your office is handling, who handles that? Does your office have to go through, find the actual video from the archives and bring it in? Do the police supply that for you? How does that work? Has that been decided yet?
The Faribault evidence people should be keeping track of it.
Mm-hmm.
Most things are controlled by what's called an ICR number, an incident number. And so we should be able to pull all the video that's related to that incident number and pull it into our system, which would allow us to have access to it.
That sounds real easy.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be more difficult.
Yeah.
We've got a system for that.
We do have a system for that. We've been working on it over the last couple of years. We've worked out an evidence sharing system with our big departments that allows us to just get that information and have it available to us. And it's worked out pretty well so far. And Faribault and was the first agency we started working with on that. And the Northfield and the Sheriff's Office have been coming along in, and it's been working really well. We've been doing it for a little less than a year now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Once again, John Fossum, Rice County Attorney, is with us. Well, why don't we shift gears? Let's talk. You had a case that we haven't talked about in a while, and I understand it's starting there's some progress within it. That is that of Antonio Washington, who is facing some charges on felony charges for drugs.
Yeah, Mr. Washington is currently in prison on another case, an assault case, but he's been charged with first-degree drug sales, and that's a case that's been kind of lingering for a while, and they made an argument recently to get some more evidence claiming that there was entrapment, and the judge ruled that there wasn't any evidence to support that claim of entrapment, and the case should now be proceeding to trial. So Mr. Washington was one of the people that, was picked up, had been, the task force believed he was responsible for moving a lot of heroin in the area. He's been in custody for some time now, about a year and a half. And so, as I said, he's in currently sitting in prison. So, not a threat to the community at the moment. But when we're done with this case, I think we'll be looking for a longer prison sentence for him as well.
All right. John, anything else going on?
Oh, lots of stuff going on, Jeff, but more than I can think of with my current dose of cold meds.
You're starting to fade in and out. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Rice County Attorney John Fossum. You're listening to 95.1 FM, AM 1080, KYMN, Northfield.